speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
In John chapter 1, Jesus was in the presence of a number of people, and John the Baptist made the statement, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Philip, seeing the Lord, seeing the testimony of John the Baptist, said to Nathanael, "See, we have found the Messiah." Nathanael asked the question, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip responded by saying, "Come and see." Come and see. Just a few chapters later, John chapter 4, verse 29, the woman at the well with whom Jesus had had a long discussion came back to the city and told the people that there is a man who has told me all things whatsoever I did. In verse 29, come, see. We've been studying on Sunday nights for a few weeks about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The purpose of this is to let you see Him. See Him as He is and who He is, that He is that great Savior. He is that great intercessor. And He is also a great Lord and Master. The passage that Brother Marty read to you just a few moments ago from Acts chapter 2 says, "This same Jesus, God has made both Lord and Christ." And we have a number of people visiting with us tonight. As I was standing in the foyer seeing people come in, we have a number of people visiting with us tonight, and we are so thankful you're here. We're glad that you're here because you are interested in spiritual things, because you have someone else who's encouraged you to come, and we want you to know how much we appreciate your being here. But it's our job to let you see Jesus. And so tonight I want to talk about Jesus, our great Lord and Master. The term Lord often denotes someone in the Bible who's a master, as a master on slaves. And we'll see that used in Matthew 20. And we'll see it is even used also with regards to, for instance, a wife looking at her husband. And then we want to observe, as way of introduction, to understand that a person, spiritually speaking, can choose his master. Notice with me Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. "But Jesus called them to Himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles,'" notice carefully, "'lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be as your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." If you'll notice carefully, verse 25, he talks about them lording it over, and then the parallel, exercising great authority. That's what masters, that's what lords do. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6, Peter records, "As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." Called him Lord. That is, he called him her master. "You tell me what you want me to do," because he was the head of that house. But as I go further, I realize that we understand that a person can have more than one master and makes choices. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And he's basically saying, you've got to choose. Do you want to me to be your master, the Lord Jesus Christ, or do you want money to be your master? It's a choice you have to make. When we go to Romans 6 and verse 16, in a passage discussing the idea of service, he says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness?" Now what Paul is saying, we choose who it is we want to serve. And you and I can make our master to be the Lord Jesus Christ, or you can make your master to be the devil. Or you can make money and possessions your master. But you've got to make a choice. Now, if one would want to choose the perfect master under which he would serve, he would want to serve Jesus Christ. There is none better. He is a gracious master. He is a good and gentle master. And he is a gainful master. And I'd like to take some time for just a few minutes to explain those to you. I'd like for you to begin with, if you want to turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. We're going to put it up on the screen, but you may want to read a little more than what we will have on the screen. Maybe read a little background while we're preparing for this. There is perhaps no better parable that teaches the graciousness of Jesus as our Master. And if you were to think about how you would want one to treat you, this would certainly be it. And there is also the fact that of His graciousness as a Master, not only do we serve Him, but He serves us. What greater master could you have than a master who saw to your needs? Let's begin with Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but unto 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and with his children and all that he had in payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him and said, Master, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. I want you to think about that master. And in this parable, Jesus is representative of the king settling accounts. And what does the servant say? Master, please forgive me. And he does. Do you realize how many times we come here and we gather around to pray, as we did this morning, as we have done tonight. And we beg and we plead for God's forgiveness. Do you know what we'll do Wednesday night if the Lord allows this world to continue and we're able to be here? We'll also come back. We'll ask God for forgiveness. In this context that Peter asked, Lord, how often shall we forgive? 7 times? No. 70 times 7. Not just 490 times. But as often as someone comes and asks, why? Because that's the graciousness of the master we serve. I messed up. I'm sorry, Lord. You genuine? Yes. Then God, as a gracious master, forgives us. The Lord goes on in Matthew 18, verses 28 through 31, and portrays a servant, a fellow servant. And that servant owed just a small amount, 100 denarii. And he took his fellow servant by the throat saying, you pay what you owe. And what you see is sometimes we're not very gracious to one another, but God is gracious to us. Now in John 13, Jesus said, you call me teacher and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. Can you imagine the Lord, the master of us, getting down on his feet, on his knees, and washing the feet of the disciples? What a tremendous example of a master who serves. In Luke 12, Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself. He will have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. You see the picture developing, how gracious our master is in Jesus Christ. John 15, no longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. Not just a master, but one who can be a friend to us as well. Second of all here, this gracious master, I think we need to think about on the day of judgment, of how gracious it will be to serve Jesus Christ. In Romans 14 and verse 4, Paul writes, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. What Paul is saying is, who are you to be judging somebody else's servant? You're a servant of God, I'm a servant of God. God judges you, God judges me. I'm not in the judging business. The master is able to make one stand. Now I want to carry you a little bit further to Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. And Paul asks a series of questions here. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? When you look at God, God's given everything. Look at Jesus. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who condemns? Jesus did. Who is Jesus? The one who died for us. What a master that must be. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a gracious master it is that we serve. He is also a good and gentle master. There are two types of masters that you can think of, a master over a slave. One master would be nice, kind, gentle, use appropriate words. Another would be mean and harsh and like a slave driver. Good masters respect the dignity of all men and treat them accordingly. They look at men and see who they are. Listen to 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. You see both of them illustrated there. Colossians 4:1, he encourages, masters, give your bond servants what is just and fair, knowing that you have a master in heaven. Treat people fairly. He will. He's a good, just, gentle master. Let's listen to Jesus as He invites us to serve Him. Here's what He's telling us as servants of His. Come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Now notice, My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. Does Jesus place anything upon us that we cannot handle, that we cannot take care of? No, He gives us a yoke that's easy to be able to put our neck into. He gives us a burden that's light. If you're wanting to search for a master, there are some taskmasters that are hard. Pharaoh's taskmasters were very harsh people, but not God. But number three, He is a gainful master. He's gracious. He's good and gentle. But one should not think that our Lord does not expect work out of us and to expect gain. We may can sometimes portray a picture of our Lord and our Master as being so kind and so good to think, well, hey, He doesn't care where I work or not. Well, that's not true. In fact, the Lord does expect us to do what He has asked us to do. Nothing illustrates this any better than the parable of the talents. And I'd encourage you to read Matthew 14 or 25, verses 14 through 30. I'm only going to make reference to verse 26. When I go to Luke 6:46, Jesus says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" You see, as gracious and gentle and kind and good as the Lord is, He expects us to do something. He expects us to serve Him. And you shouldn't call Him Lord if you're not going to do what He says. In Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." There will be people on that day who are going to cry out, "Lord, Lord!" And they don't mean it. They've never served Him. They've never followed His will. I think we're all familiar with the parable of the talents, the five-talent man, the two-talent man, and the one-talent man. The five-talent man took and used the five talents he had been given, and talents an amount of money. He invested it, he used it, brought forth five more. The two-talent man took what he had been given, not as much as the five-talent man, but he used it. He also was very productive with it, brought gain. The one talent man took what he had been given and hid it in the earth. And when the master returned, he said, "Here, I knew you was a hard man." No, he wasn't a hard man. "Here's what you gave me." And here's where the Lord answers. The Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew I reap where I had not sown, gathered where I have not scattered seed." And he goes on to say, "You ought to have taken mine and put it to the bankers so that I could have received my own with interest." What was wrong with this man? He was wicked and he was lazy. And you see, the Lord, as good and kind as He is, does not want us to be lazy. He wants us to put forth effort. He wants us to try to use what we have been given to be a gainful servant for Him. As our Master, Jesus expects our service to be genuine and not eye service. I remember one time teaching a class of young people. I don't know if it were teenagers or not. And we were studying the book of Colossians, and the question came up, what does eye service mean? And the way I illustrated it to them, I said, if you've got a bunch of guys in your room or a bunch of girls, and you've got your pillows, and you're swinging those pillows, and you're hitting one another, and all of a sudden you hear the door rattle, I said, what do? Everybody throws those pillows down, you jump on top of them, you're like, oh, we're just sitting in here, we're just talking. And then when the door closes, what do? Pick up those pillows again. You start banging one another with those pillows. What you were trying to do was act like you were good when your mama and daddy were there, but when they weren't there, you just did just exactly what you wanted to do. Some people put on a show. But You're not really putting on a show for the Lord, because the Lord sees it all, Psalms 139. Doesn't matter if you ascend to the heavens or you go to the depths beneath. David said, "Behold, Lord, you are there." So you're not fooling the Lord. The eye service is what we do in front of other people. And when one advances the kingdom, though, he's really helping himself. If I serve the Lord and I benefit the Lord, I'm really benefiting myself. Some people have not yet understood that the stronger that I make my family, the more I work for my family, the more it comes back good to me. The more I work to be a good citizen and build up our country, the more that benefits me. The more that I serve and work and make the Lord's church strong, the more that benefits me. To be a gainful servant for the Lord is such a blessing. Listen to Colossians 3:22. "Bond servants, obey your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God." God wants you to serve Him because you love Him, because you respect Him, because you know that He's the Christ and that He's the true Master and ought to be the Lord of your life. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, "Who then is a faithful and a wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, finds so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all of his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him and at an hour when he's not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him a portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What is Jesus saying? He's saying you don't serve just when you think the master is going to come. If I were to tell you tonight, the Lord will come again to receive us to Him before the morning sunlight would break, I dare say that all of us tonight would want to make sure every I was dotted, every T was crossed, everything in our life was right, because we would want to serve that Master to be able to go to heaven. Do you know what? Here he gives a picture that he can come on a day when he's not looking for him and an hour when he's not aware of it. You and I ought to be gainful servants of the Lord all the time, not just when we think people are looking. There's a song, "Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior it is we serve." You can't think of a better master and a better one to serve. You're going to make a choice. You may make your choice that you want to serve the worldly things. You may make a choice you're going to serve the devil. You may not think that's what you're doing, but if you're serving evil, you're serving the devil. But when our Lord invites us to serve Him, what a great one He is. What could be said to you that would move you? Each and every Sunday, morning and evening, that I'm privileged to stand in this pulpit, I always try to think. Usually you'll see me bow my head on the front as I'm trying to think of, what am I going to say tonight? What am I going to say this morning to try to move people to do what they know they ought to do? I want you to think of helping yourself. You can help yourself. The greatest thing for yourself tonight, by rendering obedience to the gospel of Christ. Practically everyone who comes forward and says, "I want to become a New Testament Christian," will tell me, "Tony, I've been thinking about this for a long time. I know I should have done this a long time ago. I'm glad I went ahead and made this decision. That would be you tonight. You know what you need to do.